I've been a minister, as many of you know, for 35 years. I've read the Bible many, many times, probably just like you have. And yet I discover things that I'd never seen before. I was with Neville on Saturday, was it yesterday? And we were talking about how God reveals things to you like it's all new. Well, let me tell you tonight, this is all brand new. And I don't know whether you know about Ittai. Ittai is going to be one of your heroes tonight, friends. Ittai the Gittite. Have you heard about Ittai the Gittite? You see, you don't even know about Ittai the Gittite. Neither did I until I read this passage and the Holy Spirit said, you need to know about this guy, Ittai the Gittite. You see, isn't it amazing that there are things in the scriptures that we overlook? We just pass over them and we don't think much of them and we move on. And yet we miss something absolutely extraordinary. Ittai the Gittite. Well, here is a story. We've been in 1 and 2 Samuel for quite some time in our evening services. We've been studying the books of Samuel and God is wanting to impart to us particular things that we could learn from these stories of people, of God, in days that were not easy, just like our own times. The whole story starts, 1 Samuel, with Israel in a total mess. You know, you've got the priests sleeping with prostitutes, indulging themselves. Their flesh is being totally consumed with all the things of the world, and Israel's in a mess. People are doing what's right in their own eyes, as we read in the book of Judges. But you have these two people that are highlighted here, Elkanah and Hannah. Two people, a bit like Zechariah and Elizabeth we talked about this morning. Two people who went up year by year to the tabernacle to worship. And genuinely to worship Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And of course we learn from Hannah's story of her cries to God, her desperate cry and her childlessness, and the God who is the God of Israel hearing her prayer, and the gift of this child Samuel. Samuel who is going to lead Israel back to God. Back to the God of his mother and his father. Not the God of Eli, who had really rejected the God of Israel. And we have the story of 1 and 2 Samuel unfolding. And Samuel, of course, leads Israel back to recognize who their God really is. And one of the people in Israel who hears the message that Samuel brings is a boy called David. Boy called David, a shepherd boy in a family, the youngest in the family, out on the hillsides with the sheep. And yet the message that Samuel brings about the God who answers prayer, prayers of Hannah, prayers that produced him, produce a young boy who becomes the most famous person perhaps other than Jesus, to focus on the importance of prayer in the life of God's people. There's no one in the whole Bible whose prayers are more recorded than David. So we learn something from these stories, that Samuel had a powerful influence in his teaching. And of course then God raises up the first king. The people want a king. They don't want God to just be their king alone. They want an earthly king, and God gives them the desire of their heart, and Saul is raised up. He's chosen as king by God, and he starts seemingly well and ends disastrously, which is so easy to do in life, starting well and finishing badly. It's harder to finish well than it is to start well. So we learn something from Saul, who chose his own understanding and failed to look to God and obey him. His heart turned away from devotion. And then God chooses David, the shepherd boy, to be king. And we learn in the scriptures that David is a man after God's own heart. Now, as we read the story of David, and we've been reading it, we start to feel A man after God's own heart who commits adultery with Bathsheba and kills her husband? What is this man? Is he really a man after God's own heart who would do a thing like that? Are we any better than David? So easy to think we are, isn't it? But the Bible reveals the characters that God favours, not because they're sinless. Abraham certainly was not sinless. Moses, David. No, it's what they believed about God that is so important. And in the story we have tonight in 2 Samuel 15, it's what David believes about God that is so pleasing to God. Firstly, David recognizes Absalom's rebellion is a result of his own sin. He knows God told him there's going to be division in his house, there's going to be conflict as a result of his own sin. And we don't see David sort of proudly trying to contest Absalom because he knows that this is a consequence of his own actions. And as he hears of the whole of Israel, what is the message that we hear there? A messenger came to David, the hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. All the men have been captured by Absalom. He's a strident leader of some personality and charisma, and the men have followed after him. And then David said to all his servants who were with him, "Arise, let us flee. Let us run away." Is this a man after God's own heart running away? You know, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. I love Ecclesiastes 3. Don't you love Ecclesiastes 3? There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And you've got to ask yourself, what is the time? And who tells you the time? Saul chose his own time, didn't he? He said, "No, I'm going to sacrifice." The key thing with Saul's rebellion was a failure to recognize the time. David knows right now the consequences of what have taken place are because of his own actions, his own sin. It's time to run away. It's time, as he says later on in the passage when he's fleeing, and notice what is he doing when he's fleeing? Weeping. He's not fleeing with any sense of great victory or confidence. He's weeping. Weeping over what is taking place. His heart is broken. And this is pleasing to God. What he says there in the passage as he's speaking, when he's asked about, what does he say there in, and tells the people to carry the ark back into Jerusalem, take the symbol of God's presence back into the city. I'm not going to keep it with me. Carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and let me see both it and his dwelling place. He is putting his trust entirely in God and not in himself. Not in himself. He's surrendering, isn't he? He's surrendering it all over to God. If he says, "I have no pleasure in you," this is David speaking, "behold, here I am, let him do to me what seems good to him." Well, this is a man after God's own heart, surrendered to God. So where does Ittai the Gittite fit into the story? Ittai the Gittite. Now, just a minute. Who are the Gittites? Well, we hear they're from Gath. Who else was from Gath? Goliath of Gath. Ah, so Ittai's one of Goliath's mates. Ittai, the Gittite, from Gath. One of Goliath's mates, one of the Philistines, one of the enemy party. Who, why is he coming over to David's side? Remember, David fled to the Philistines and he spent some time in Philistine territory and we hear of his activities there. Why is Ittai the Gittite and 600 other Gittites coming over to be with David? What is it that has attracted them to be with a man who now is in potentially a disastrous situation of calamity with his son taking over the throne? Why would they run to a man like David? What do you think is the influence that is attracting them to David? You see, when a person is walking with God, what did we just sing? Jesus bids us shine. When a person is walking with God, isn't there something incredibly attractive about them? Isn't there something that you want to know more about? How do you live like this? What is it that allows you to be like who you are? And here is Ittai the Gittite. He's from Gath. He's from where Goliath was. He was possibly even there when, you know, Goliath was standing up shouting. And he's a commander in the army, friends. But this man is a little bit like Cornelius, I think, in the book of Acts. There is something about these people of Israel, the God of Israel, the people who are worshipping this God are different to us. And he has seen something in David. But David has a very interesting conversation with Ittai the Gittite. We go back to verse 18. We see all his servants pass by him and all the Cherethites and Perethites and 600 Gittites. 600 members of the community of Gath, the Philistines, have come over to be with David. They followed him from Gath. There's something incredibly attractive about David. Even when he's weeping, in this passage, he's going to be weeping a lot. But there's something incredibly attractive about him. What attracts you to somebody? Are you attracted to people who are ingenuous? No. You're attracted to people who are genuine. There's something genuine about them. There's something incredibly true about them. And this is David, you see. This is the man after God's own heart. A man who is surrendered to God. We've just seen him, how he's totally surrendered at this point. He recognizes his sin has brought about this calamity, and now he's surrendering to God. But Ittai the Gittite, who's from a foreign country, who's an enemy of Israel, now comes over, and David says to him, go back and stay. Do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king. Stay with Absalom. He's the success story. For you're a foreigner and also an exile from your own home. You came only yesterday. Such a short time. And shall I today make you wander about with us in this seemingly hopeless state? Since I go, I know not where. Would you be willing to follow somebody who doesn't know where they're going and what's going to happen to them? Go back. Take your brothers with you. May the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you. So David blesses this Gittite, this man from Gath, with steadfast love and blessing. But what does Ittai say to David? Have a look at verse 21. But Ittai answered the king, as the Lord lives. Now he knows the Lord lives. How does he know the Lord lives? Jehovah lives. Perhaps he was there on the day that David fought Goliath. Perhaps he did hear David say, "You come against me with a spear and a sword, but I come against you in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth." And he saw Goliath collapse at the hands of this young boy. And wait a minute, there is a God. And this man knows this God. Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord lives, and as my Lord the king lives." Notice how he has attached himself to the kingship of David and not Absalom. "Wherever my Lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be." This is a man who totally surrenders himself to a seemingly defeated David, but a man in whom Ittai sees faith in a living God. Now, are we willing to do this? Are we willing to surrender completely, whether for death or for life? Who is the king that David truly represents? Who is the son of David? The Lord Jesus. Is he attractive? Is he genuine? Is he someone that you would say, "I will be with you whether for death or for life"? Can we take hold of Ittai the Gittite's testimony and say the same in our lives to the Lord Jesus? Can you grasp the significance of this? Ittai the Gittite from Gath, totally abandoning all that he has known to be with David. Wherever he goes, whatever God does, he will be with him. Well, friends, let me tell you that when we get to 2 Samuel 18, David will assemble an army to fight Absalom, and he will appoint Joab, Abishai, and Ittai as commanders of his army. So here is a man who was an enemy of Israel, who has completely surrendered over, and who now becomes someone in the purposes of God to advance his kingdom in Israel, because he surrendered completely in heart to David and to God's purposes at this point. And this is a challenge to all of us. This is a challenge for us. Are we willing to surrender everything? Now, in preparation of this message, I'm at home this afternoon and I'm playing a song that I enjoyed when I was away on holiday, and suddenly another song appears on my computer I had never heard before, and it says this: "To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to that river. Lord, I need to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care." Now, David has just committed adultery with Bathsheba. He has murdered her husband. He has brought about the disruption of his own family. But Ittai the Gittite is identifying himself with this man. Why? Because David wrote Psalm 51, didn't he? "Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your spirit from me. David's heart has been cleansed by God through faith, and Ittai the Gittite is attracted to this man, whether for death or for life, for he sees the influence of the God of Israel on David's life. It speaks out through him, and he is coming to the river, bringing sins he cannot bear. For Ittai is like you and me, a sinner. Come and cleanse me. Come forgive me. Lord, I need to meet you there. Come and join us in the river. Come find life beyond compare. He is calling. He is waiting. Jesus longs to meet you there. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Every care, every burden, every wrong thing you've done. This is what Ittai is saying to David. Whether for death or for life, I'm with you. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there. Why did that song appear on my computer as I'm preparing this message? How did it even get there? I didn't even know it before. Do we worship a living God? Is he trying to impress a message upon us? He's looking for us to surrender every care to Jesus, whether for life or for death. And we will not be, as we will see in the unfolding story of we will not be disappointed. Ittai is not disappointed having joined David and being surrendered to his God. And none of us will be disappointed surrendering to the Lord Jesus. In 2 Samuel 18, we read this. Then David mustered the men who were with him, set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and David sent out the army, one third under the command of Joab, one third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one third under the command of Ittai the Gittite. Let's pray.